This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you.
Good evening and happy new year. This is your host, Rock Cash, this week on The People Speak. The People Speak invites audience participation. You can listen by phone calling 716-748-0144, or if you have a smartphone or a computer, go to bbsradio.com, navigate to Station 2, and click on the listen icon. You can also participate during the show with call-in questions for our guests toll-free, 888-429-5471. This evening, joining us will be Annabelle Barbour. Annabelle has been helping people recover from substance abuse, especially pharmaceutical abuse, basically. And she's also trained in hypnotherapy, and she's also a level 2 Reich healing narrative therapy. Annabelle, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me, Rock. It's good to be here. This is my first foray into this kind of thing, so I'll just follow your lead.
Oh, very good, very good. Annabelle, you've been helping people get off of prescription medication?
Well, I've been working in the recovery industry for 13 years, and it hasn't been prescription drugs until really recently because of the proliferation of it. So it's a different animal than what we conventionally used to see with drug and alcohol addiction.
Right. So. Is it that much harder for them to get off of this chemical that they're putting them on?
Well, it's harder just because it is a different mindset about what the addiction is. In other words, you know, alcoholics have been around forever, and then there's been junkies like heroin addicts and things like that. But all of a sudden, you know, what we have found, it's called iatrogenic addiction. And iatrogenic drug addiction means, iatros means healer, and genin is producer of, like Genesis. And so when they say iatrogenic drug addiction, it means the healer has caused the addiction. And so it's from doctors over-prescribing and pharmaceutical companies taking the reins and actually marketing what were cancer drugs. Once in 1992, when the prescription drug User Fee Act happened, pharmaceutical companies were able to pay for patents for drugs, and then they advertised, and this is what has happened. Pain medications became normal for back pain, knee pain, tooth pain, and then it's just snowballed.
Right, and that's starting with over-the-counter drugs on up to the prescription medications as far as hydrocodones and synthetic morphines and all those other things. What about this methadone? Why are they giving people methadone to get them off of another drug when the chemical methadone is actually worse than the drug they're on?
Well, that was something called, it's in along the lines of what they call harm reduction. And there's harm reduction is a nice little catchphrase, but harm reduction doesn't take away the problem. Methadone was kind of a way to ease the pain of the withdrawals of opiates in a controlled way. So you need less methadone. A dose lasts all day and you can stand in line for it. It keeps people off the street and from shooting up. So that's how it's a harm reduction kind of tool. Most people really don't get off methadone, actually.
So, right, because methadone is more addicting than the actual morphine that they were on.
Yes, and it gets into the bones and stuff, so it's just very, very painful to get off of. So you know, we're just looking at a proliferation of things that it's hard to know, is one born an addict, as you know, we kind of think genetics plays a part for a lot of addiction. But when you have a drug that is made that is so physically addicting, how do you help people recover from that without classing them as a classic addict or alcoholic?
Right. Well, I don't believe that anybody is born with an addiction. Just like I don't believe that everybody is born with a transsexual configuration. How do I put this in a very, very con way? Disorder. I don't believe that people are born gay. I believe it's the way they're brought up and their surroundings as they're growing up that makes them go that way, or later on in life, experiences with maybe the counter sex or something of that nature. But you're a sex coach. You might know a little bit more about that than I do.
Well, you know, I do know a bit about it. Sex coaching is not sex therapy. It really, what it is, it helps people that have sexual blocks, people that want to feel normalized if they are transgender, or if they, you know, if they are into things that aren't considered normal, how they can, you know, integrate that into their lives. There's also couples that have disparate levels of desire and passions and fantasies, you know, that kind of thing. But, you know, as far as the debate about people being born gay or transgender, my experience tells me that there is a likelihood that people are born with a sexual preference, and that some people are actually born with a body that is a boy, and they have the mind of what we would consider a girl. So those are difficult. We in America don't accept it very much. But what the sex coaching industry does is help normalize lives of people that are sitting in those areas where they feel as if they're not accepted, because some people think they were born, some people think they weren't. There's a societal stigma about especially transgender. These days, you know, homosexuality is a lot more accepted than it used to be. So, you know, who are we going to pick to scapegoat? It's the transgenders now. So,
Correct. Well, you know, people are going to have their cross thoughts about that. But tell us more about your research as far as the different drugs that you've had to get people off of because they've gotten addicted. Do you also work on drugs that really aren't of the hallucinogenic type, or, you know, like regular prescription medications that you might have gotten people off of?
Well, the most of the people that come into the treatment center that I work in, or to my office, or even come into many of the 12-step programs, it is the opiates. It is the synthetic opiates, the painkillers that are really taking people out. And so it's the
Vicodin and hydrocodones and things of that nature.
Yes, OxyContin. And then they're getting to the more hardcore stuff like Dilaudid and you know, even different kind of codeines. And they're turning to you know, buying it on the street, or prescription, you know, prescription and doctor hopping. You know, it's really tough. And you know, I don't know, and also a lot of it's a younger and younger population that I'm seeing, in other words, because the kids are raiding their parents' medicine cabinets. And then the kids, they have something called farming parties, PHARMING, and they'll raid their parents' medicine cabinets and go to a party and stick everything in a bowl and just start experimenting. And so, you know, the age is dropping. I have been working with three different people that are 22 and under that have been addicted to prescription opiates since they were 13 or 14 years old.
Well, you know, this is also part of the agenda of the big pharmaceuticals trying to get everybody addicted to the point of no return, excuse me. So they can pretty much have a diluted society that doesn't pay attention to their surroundings.
Well, I don't disagree with that at all. The pharmaceutical companies, you know, it's called Big Pharma now for a reason. And the problem is, you know, they enticed the medical community. And it's a sad state of affairs. You know, in California, doctors are finally being busted and arrested and prosecuted for overprescribing, knowing that they were overprescribing or, you know, giving extra medications to people that were addicts. And so I don't know what's happening in other states. I live in Los Angeles, and so I've done a little bit of research for the state of California. And I know, you know, there's a Hippocratic Oath that's been violated so much by all the doctors who've been profiting from the kickbacks that the pharmaceutical companies have been giving them for promoting their version of OxyContin or Vicodin or, you know, whatever they want to call it with one little molecule that's different, you know?
Yeah, right. I just left the doctor's office with my mother, and I seen how they were trying to manipulate the doctor. Oh, well, please start using this again. And, of course, he had to sign a little iPad so he can get his kickback. And I'm completely against all of that stuff. After seeing my mother while she was in the hospital, they gave her Dilaudid.
Yeah, pretty hardcore.
That stuff, oh, hardcore is an understatement. She was telling us stories of ventures she was going on and, you know, people hitting her and stuff like that. And I've never seen – this is the sweetest lady in the world. And I've never seen her get irate or yell at anybody, but on Dilaudid, she got irate. She was telling us all kinds of stories. She had broken her neck, and she went in for surgery.
Oh, wow.
The second time I had them, they ended up doing two surgeries on her. The first surgery, she came out of the operation with her face all red and her eyes are red, and you know, a very, very hurt and sad face. The second time I told him, I don't want you giving her Dilaudid. You give her morphine, and that's it. So the second time they gave her morphine, and when she came out, she was a happy camper. But Dilaudid made her hallucinate beyond belief.
Well, I'm not surprised, especially how old is she?
She's 88.
Yeah, I mean, that is a very, very powerful painkiller and sedative. And, you know, the doctors, you know, I don't know how they make their decisions, but it really is all about making money. And it's unfortunate because the patients suffer. And not only that, but then you had to suffer and watch her go through that.
Of course.
And have to deal with it. So, you know, it's a ripple effect on all levels, like, you know, like anything. And so I've seen people destroyed, absolutely destroyed financially, familially, emotionally, and spiritually, just because they could not stop taking pain pills.
Now, have you ever been called to testify against any pharmaceutical cases where they abuse their, you know, people, or were you called to testify against any pharmaceuticals or doctors for overprescribing, or?
I have not.
Okay.
I've not worked with someone who actually was suing anybody or anything. So it right now, there's not, you know, a federal case happening. There are just a couple of specific doctors that have been singled out because they were just so prolific in the amount of drugs that they prescribed to their patients. So
it's not like they're doing any doctoring anymore. It's all about what's your problem? Oh, here, let me give you this and this and this. They just start writing prescriptions.
Go ahead.
It seems that they're not really doctoring anymore.
No, they're not.
They're just easing symptoms.
Exactly. And, you know, pain is a funny thing because it is really immeasurable. It is all in the eye of the feeler, really.
Right.
So a doctor has to believe their patient. And so, you know, they've tried to take measures, triplicate prescription pads and, you know, flagging how many times someone goes to see a doctor and how many pills are issued. But up until last year, there was one man in the whole entire city of Los Angeles that was the one guy that was monitoring the amounts of pills that were being issued in the state, the city of Los Angeles. Wow. So, you know, one guy. And, you know, again, it's funding. It's how do we keep an eye on Big Pharma when their pockets are being filled by politicians and vice versa?
I think that's a responsibility of the state, but the state is also in on it, so it really doesn't make a difference, does it? The state of California is, I live in just south of you in Orange County, so The state of California is going after these doctors, but yet all these patients that are being sent, whether it's through Medi-Cal or anything like that, they're allowing these pharmaceuticals to go because it's a business for them also. It's a business for Medi-Cal. It's a business for the state.
It's for-profit. It is a for-profit.
Tax and burn.
Yes.
Correct.
And so...
So the entire system needs to be shut down from the top to the bottom and renavigated.
It does. And then, who do we go to? This is the thing. You know, I'm only one person, and I have a huge opinion about it, and I'm not an expert about it. But I do see the lives that are being destroyed by it. So how do we, you know, create more awareness about it is the thing. It's a very difficult prospect because we live in a society, unfortunately, that is told that you are not supposed to feel bad. Don't feel bad. We can fix you with a little pill. Don't hurt. You don't have to. We can fix it with a pill. And and so people don't have the mindset to go, you know what? I can heal myself. I can prevent this. If I have a little pain, I don't need to take the strongest pill that's out there.
Absolutely. Absolutely not.
Yeah, so it's more about maybe the prevention needs to start with the people, you know.
Exactly. You know, I have friends in the medical field that tell me that, especially in the elderly homes and stuff like that, people are asking them. They see a new medication, and I think what we need to do is, just like they had the alcohol ban on the commercials on television, they had the alcohol ban. I think we need to ban Big Pharma from advertising on television.
Absolutely. So many people are self-diagnosing and going to a doctor and saying, I have this and I want this. And the doctors are doing it.
Right.
Because they the doctors don't really have to treat anybody. And they won't get in trouble because their patient asked for it.
Right.
Right? I mean, but sign release, it's yours.
That's not a responsible doctor.
No, it's not.
No, and I believe that a lot of doctors just sold out their responsibility clause for their patients and decided that their money was the most important thing to them.
Yes.
And I see that with some of the doctors I've visited. You know, very few of them care, and the rest are all of just about the mighty dollar.
Well, we have a very our country is all about the mighty dollar, is it not?
Yes,
it
is.
The haves and have-nots are separating more quickly than we can even think. So, again, it's huge. It's just huge.
Yeah,
and as long as the
media conditioning.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. In 2011, the Purdue Pharma created OxyContin, and they patented it. Their profit was over $1 billion in 2011.
That's crazy. They continue to try to prescribe that for my mother, even though she's an old lady. She's been through a lot, and she has pain here and there. I don't even give her Tylenols. You know, she can always deal with the pain, but I know if we put her on the other stuff, it's going to damage her a lot more than what, you know, the pain that she's feeling now. So I refuse to give her any medications when it comes to pain pills. We
right.
didn't get her used to it.
Right. So, well, and you know, there are, again, there are levels of pain. The unfortunate truth about all of this, though, is that there are people that do need these medications. And so when someone like myself comes along and it sounds like I'm totally against pain medications, that's not the issue. People do need pain medications, but they really need to know the truth about what these drugs can do and how physically addicting they are. So they can actually monitor them themselves or have someone help them be monitored so that it doesn't become a dependence.
Right.
And so
right.
that's scary.
But of course, that's not what Big Pharma is hoping for. They're hoping to get everybody hooked.
Yes, they are. They're dumbing down America.
Well, they've been doing that for a long time.
Yes, they have.
As far as I'm concerned, the majority of the people here in America have been dumbed down, especially the ones that are highly religious and highly Christian, like the born-agains and the evangelicals, because they've been victimized the worst when it comes to, you know, the belief that, you know, these preachers are, it seems like these preachers are their gods and they're sending them all their money and everything else. They don't realize that these guys are just living extravagantly eccentric off of their hard-earned dollars. And it's crazy how people are just that easily led. I'm guessing if I wanted to be a messiah, I could have been a very rich person.
Yeah, I guess. So. Depends on what you were selling.
Exactly. Exactly.
So I don't want to divulge too much on your personal life, but I know you just went through something. Were they trying to sell you a bunch of goods?
Actually, they were, but, you know, there's a few different medications that they want you to go on. But I only chose a certain few that I know I can cope with for about a year, and then once again I can holistically move myself away from all of it.
Right.
For instance, a cholesterol medication to bring down the cholesterol a little bit, even though cholesterol really has nothing to do with the heart issue. It's more of a microbial infection, and I really need to get some nanosilver, which would probably heal it a lot quicker. But and they, of course, they wanted to give me pain meds, and they wanted to put me on like a Prevacid, and everything seems, every single medication seems to cause something else to go along with it. They gave me aspirin. They want to give me the Pepcid so I don't get ulcers and stuff like that. But yeah, they gave me Pepcid in the hospital, and you know, my stomach started hurting. Lo and behold, so I started telling them not to give it to me, and you know, they stopped. And like I said, there's only a couple of medications that I decided to hold on to. Because, of course, I passed a stroke that was, you know, stroke is not an easy thing to go through.
No, it's not.
And I'm back to 100% within a few days, and I'm strong and healthy. Just needed to lay off of a few things that I was doing prior to going into the hospital, and everything will turn out fine. But a lot of the things that are going on, I believe, is a lot of the medical issues are being put out there through the different foods, so people would get these conditions.
Through the foods, is that what you're saying?
Absolutely.
You mean the with foods. The preservatives and the and.
Exactly, the preservatives, the sodium EDTA that would be in beans, the preservatives that are in the frozen foods. They're taking a piece of food that would normally go bad, then they bread it up, make it look good, and put it in a store freezer and say, here, buy this. It's easy. You can make it in a couple of minutes. Just throw it in the microwave. And there's nothing healthy and holistic about that, because it's all, you know, especially the microwave, you're injecting radiation into your food.
Right.
And you're going to eat that.
You are going to eat
that. It's an oxymoron.
Exactly. And then you're going to need to go to the doctor, and then something's going to be wrong with you, and they're going to have to prescribe something for you.
Oh, absolutely. And that's how they get people going in circles. It's a continuous circle for them.
Yes. You know, I think it was last year, there was an advertisement. It was a drug, and it was a picture of a man on a bench, and he was brown and hard looking. And the ad was, are you constipated from taking opiates? You can now take this trial drug and see if it works for you. So
yeah. Trial so drug.
Opiates cause constipation. And all of a sudden, instead of saying, don't do opiates anymore, they're like, we're going to make a drug for you. So take your opiates.
Yeah, well, and you can take they're going to try a drug on you. You just yes. became a human guinea pig.
Yes. So
yeah, that's absolutely absurd. And people fall for the stupidity. You know, Viagra can cause more harm than it does good.
Well, it can, especially because, well, yeah, you know, one is not enough, I think, is the problem. you know, it's a man's world. You know that as well.
You know, all they have to do is just look into natural things and lose weight, get rid of their diabetic needs, and look into things like fenugreek or horny goat's weed and things of that natural substance to build up their testosterone, and even exercise their legs, which would do them wonders. But none of them.
Exercise the PC muscles, and yeah, there's a lot of things people can do.
Yeah, they just don't pay attention to that. They'd rather take the happy pill. You know, take the pill here, and you're ready to go for 4 hours.
Exactly.
And it can all be done naturally, without having to take a pill. That's going to ruin you in the long run.
Right. Well, see, this is where the for-profit industry of medicine and pharmaceuticals is destroying our country, because they will not ever promote prevention, preventative measures. You know, Jon Kabat-Zinn has been working with chronic pain patients since 1978 or 9. And he created something called a mindfulness-based stress reduction program that actually helped the last gaspers suffering from pain using mindfulness and meditation practices to help them live with their pain, counteract the pain in their body to become less. And he has never been able to get any kind of support from any president, any of the pharmaceutical companies, any of the medical communities, because
of course not, because the presidents are paid off.
Yes. Because there's no profit in people sitting and meditating and breathing and eating right.
Right. The federal government, you know, is in on this whole scandal with the profit-making, the profiteering, and corporations and everything else. If they weren't, they wouldn't have ripped us off and gave our money to the bankers, the people that are ripping us off.
Yes, and no one is in jail. BFA is still up and running. These are all different issues, but yes, they're all connected.
Yeah, absolutely. The thing is, years ago I used to take over-the-counter drugs for sinus infections, sinus pain, and headaches. I stopped taking those things. I stopped getting them.
Oh, really?
So all I could say to people is get away from these over-the-counter medications. They don't help. They just increase whatever symptom you're trying to get rid of or whatever symptom they tell you that it's going to take care of, it increases it. So it's really not good for you. It damages sinus medications will damage your sinuses a lot further. I mean, you know, I used to have chronic sinusitis and, you know, chronic tonsillitis. I stopped taking the over-the-counter medications. All of that went away. Lo and behold.
Lo and behold. You know, and another thing that is a major concern, really, is that drugs are being given to children. Psychotropic drugs. I mean, the brain is not even completely formed till the age 25.
Right, they're getting them started at the age of 6 months and older, or even younger, the Tylenol for babies.
Right.
What the heck does a baby need Tylenol for?
Right. And if we are on drugs from the age of 15 or 11 or 8, how can a person's brain even form to become the person it's supposed to be? It will always need some sort of medication so that we as a society can think they're behaving correctly. I mean, it ruins their organs. It ruins their ability to have cognition. And so we're wondering why.
We the people need to take measures to stop this, and we the people need to make it illegal. We need to all stand up and do a collaborative movement to where we can stop all these children from being put on these medications. But the thing is, getting three people to agree on the same thing is very difficult because of the ongoing mind conditioning that's going on. So what do we do next?
You know, that's a good question. Again, it's all about prevention at the different levels. It's finding a way to make being healthy attractive. You know? I mean, it's not just going to the gym. It's being mentally healthy. It's being physically healthy. It's being spiritual healthy. It's being relationally healthy with other human beings. And how do we do that without it, you know, it gets turned into something either artsy-fartsy or uber-religious or, you know, way out there or something. And all it is being human. We are humans with a finite time on this planet, with a body that we can either take care of or not, with a mind that we can either take care of or not. And why is it more attractive to take care of it with pharmaceuticals and plastic surgery and hallucinogens and Viagra?
I find plastic surgery very, very repulsive.
Well, you know, that's part of the whole thing. You got to look good, you got to feel good, and you don't have to do it yourself because we can do it as long as you pay us.
Yeah. Well, see, that's the thing. You know, they got everybody conditioned on this I want attitude. I want to be like the Joneses and the McCoys on TV. So I want. That's, once again, it's a part of the conditioning. I believe that the plan was to do that, and it was all intentional, and it started with the media industry wanting to do that to people, because you control the minds of a nation, you control the people. You pretty much enslave them through the media. You get them to do what you want them to do. You get them to vote the way you want them to vote. You get them to buy what you want them to buy. But people are that stupid to the point to where everything they see, oh, well, I got to have that. And they just don't look past that, I want, I want, I want. See, I look at things in a different fashion. And even growing up, if I don't have a necessity for it, I don't need it. If it's not something that I need to get to work and take care of my bills and my health and everything else, then I don't need it. I don't need the toy hauler, and I don't need to put myself out on a bench to just have this and this and this and this. If I have the means, I will do it, but if I don't, I'm not going to put myself in a displaced position to do so. And that's the problem with people. You know, women, of course, you might disagree or agree with me, but women are a lot easily conformed to this type of lifestyle of I want, I want, I want. But then, of course, they entice the men into that lifestyle of I want, I want, I want. And there's, don't get me wrong, there's a lot of men that are prima donnas out there that are worse than women. Everything they see, they got to have. So,
well, the men want the women that want, want, want. And they want the women that want, want, want to be young with big fake breasts and fake blonde hair and, you know, whatever that want is.
Right.
So it goes right both ways, really.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, it's a matter of how do you market a different want? Because that's what it is. That's what it is. We're a consumer society. And so the people that have the better marketing campaign are winning. You know, I mean, look, we all know that drinking ages us. Taking a lot of drugs makes you look old. But yet, people are still doing it. And so that's right, where the plastic surgery comes in. But it doesn't mean your insides are getting any better. And so, you know, people are dying much, not younger, but more painful deaths because their organs are going. And
correct.
And, you know, this is the reality. This came out about 3 years ago. Prescription drug overdose deaths outnumbered traffic deaths in this country in 2011.
Okay.
Yeah. No,
Annabelle, I need to take a quick break. We'll be right back in a few minutes. This is Rock Cash. We'll be right back on here on the BBS Radio Network with our guest, Annabelle Barbour. We'll be right back shortly after this brief message.
Got questions? The library's got answers. And books and magazines and CDs and videos and web access and databases and all sorts of other resources at your library. In a world that's information rich, libraries are information smart. Find the right answer and a whole lot more at your library.
With over 150 million registered users, Pal Talk is the largest video chat community in the world, with over 300 Pal Talk support staff speaking dozens of languages to help you enjoy your online experience. Meet new people across town or country or continent while chatting about your interests. Sing live karaoke, listen to music, join a lively political debate, or play group trivia in one of thousands of chat rooms in various categories from your PC, mobile, or tablet device. Joining Pal Talk is free and easy. Go to paltalk.com and become part of our friendly community today.
In America, most of us have the basics we need to survive, but there are millions of children all over the world who don't. Children who must work instead of going to school. Children who were forced to fight as child soldiers. Children who can't have an ordinary childhood because they lack health care, clean water, or good nutrition. For these children, there is UNICEF. UNICEF works in 157 countries and territories, providing children with what they need to survive and grow. To learn more, visit unicefusa.org or call 1-800-4-UNICEF.
Hello, this is Wesley Snipes. And when I'm divinely inspired and spiritually motivated, I listen to VBSRadio.com.
In a world of abundance, hunger is a crime. When a malnourished child dies, we're all guilty. Yet it happens every 5 seconds. Let's do the right thing. Put hunger away for good. Please, give to the World Food Program.
This land.
Join us on The People Speak for an hour of live interviews and audience interaction as guests of various organizations share their work and strategies which impact our world and make a difference. That's The People Speak every Tuesday, 6 to 7 p.m. Pacific, 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern on the BBS Radio Network.
This land was made for you and me.
Welcome back to The People Speak. This is Rock Cash with our guest, Anna Del Bar Boer, and we're here talking about pharmaceutical medications and how to get off of them. Anna Del, welcome back. Thank you for being with us tonight. I've got a phone call from Canada. Majid is on line one from Canada.
Hello, good evening.
Can you pipe him in? Good evening. Go ahead.
Hello?
Majid?
Hello.
Are you there?
Yeah, I have two questions.
Okay.
All right. Oh, hello, good evening. I have two questions, please.
Okay.
Yeah,
the first one is, who do we trust? The people with supposed interests, like the doctors, who are experts in that? Or do we trust, you know, our ignorant selves? This is the first question.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Okay. And the second one is it easier to get off a more harmful, stigmatized drugs like heroin compared to a more accessible, less stigmatized addiction for tobacco, for example?
Oh, okay. Well, tobacco is tough. Heroin is tough. Neither will kill you once you go off them. There's a lot of discomfort, but they are both very, very difficult. So the second question, that's the answer for you. Tobacco, because it's... you know, I mean, you can buy it on at the grocery store. It's just harder because it's easier to get. In other words, you know, it's there all the time. But the physical addiction causes as much discomfort to people quitting cigarettes as a junkie getting off of heroin.
And I could answer the first question for you as to whether we trust our ignorant selves. Or do we trust people that have been systemized to work for the system. You have to understand that a doctrine, you have to follow a curriculum in order to get that doctrine. And that doctrine is produced so these people work directly for the system and make the system function. So are we ignorant when we question and ask? Or are we just being the using the intelligence that we naturally have to make sure that the right thing is being done for us? And only we will know what's right for us and what's not. You can't have people that, you know, went through medical school sitting there trying to tell you, well, okay, I think you need to take these drugs because your condition is this and that. Because these drugs, I can tell you, they're not made to cure. They're made to prolong. They're made to prolong your issues that you might have. And nothing cures you anymore. You know, they stopped giving you straight penicillin because straight penicillin will cure you. Now they started coming up with different forms that will prolong the thing. It'll go away temporarily and it'll come back. So who do you trust? Me personally, I trust my own mind. I trust my own conscience.
Here's the problem. My own mind and my own intelligence doesn't have the knowledge that the experts has.
Inform yourself.
Well, you can inform yourself. Unfortunately, the internet is full of misinformation. It also has good information. If Correct. You feel that you're an ignorant self, absolutely, you know, do some research. And then when you go to the people that have been sensitized and taught, like the doctors and the pharmaceutical companies, ask questions. You know, make sure, you know, and you can refuse certain treatments. So know what each drug does. Not everyone needs Vicodin when they have a tooth pulled. It's just not the truth. It's just what the dentist writes because it's easy. You don't have
right. to take hydrocodones and Vicodins for tooth pain.
For knee pain, for back pain, you don't need that. There are over-the-counter rubs. You don't always have to put a physically addicting pill into your body. That's a choice that we can make. We're not told that. You know, when we're looking at the different levels of intervention or prevention to try and have a different awareness, it has to start with the pharmaceutical industry, Congress, the Federal Drug Administration. And then we have to, you know, teach the physicians differently that treat chronic pain. And then the people have to really be told what the repercussions of all these pain medications can be. You know, recovery programs. I mean, it's just, there's a lot to do with not a lot of money. So we have to have...
Yeah, I get it. I'm just trying to find the middle ground. Thank you very much for your answer.
You're very welcome, Majid. Thank you for calling with such good questions. And the thing is, when I get a medication, I go online and I research for bad information on it. Usually, there's all kinds of testimonials from people that have been on the drugs, and they will tell you what kind of effects it's had on them, what it has done to them. There's like, for instance, Lipitor. They're putting people on Lipitor left and right, telling them they have high cholesterol. What a lot of people don't know is that your brain works off of cholesterol. So these cholesterol inhibitors might cause Alzheimer's or might give you type 2 diabetes or other illnesses. It's up to you to research every medication that a doctor prescribes to you and make a sound decision for yourself whether to take that medication or not.
Exactly.
9 times out of 10, when I'm given a medication, I don't take it. Like I got prescribed something called Fomatide. And it's basically, it's kind of like a Pepsi that they sell over the counter. Mm-hmm. Well, I realized that this medication also causes bleeding, irregular heartbeats. It increases your heart pulse and everything else. Now, am I going to, with the heart condition, supposedly, they're giving me Lipitor. Now, am I going to take this stuff to create an issue for myself, or am I going to try to heal my heart? I'm not going to put anything to my body that's going to make my heartbeat go up and possibly cause something else.
Right.
So you have to research things and make sound judgments for yourself. The ignorant part is not understanding and just unconditionally following what you're told to do, because that makes you a sheep. Period. And that's my opinion.
All right, thanks.
Your opinion on
thanks
that, Anna?
Well, that's my opinion as well. I mean, research the pills that they're giving you and decide if you want to take it or not, because there are holistic ways to fix most anything that they're going to give a pill to you for.
Correct. And when it comes
to, you'll live longer.
When it comes to being all natural, I suggest that everybody goes out, learns how to hunt, fend for themselves, grow their own food, and they don't have to worry about whether they're getting something organic or not.
Right,
I don't need to go to Whole Foods.
But if you can't, yeah, you don't have to go to Whole Foods. But if you can't afford something like that, you know, just make sure, you know, you feed your family healthy and you know, diabetes is, they have medications for diabetes, but just stop eating so many carbohydrates and sugar. You can do that even if you don't buy organic. You know.
Yeah, well, they've got everybody conditioned to eat French fries and white bread that's got high amounts of gluten that causes acid reflux, and also you're not digesting your food properly. So there you go, you're getting diabetes, you're getting all kinds of bad things.
Yeah.
Pay attention to what you put into your body. That's the best way to stay healthy.
Yep. So true. And it's not, and again, I will reiterate, it's not just the physical health. It's the emotional health. It's the mental health. It's the relationships that you have with other people, because drugs alter us. They alter
Correct.
Us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. All right. Anything else you want to add for our audience, Anna, on maybe a little bit of sexual healing? Because I think they're all getting a little bit sexual on us right now, and they might need a little help in that department.
Who's they that are getting sexual? Well, we're all sexual.
Well, the audience. The audience.
We are all sexual beings, and you know, sex is energy, and you know, the sex, drugs, and rock and roll is not. I mean, that's a phrase for a reason. Drugs really inhibit and stop us from having really, really good sex. And so the healthier you are, the better sex you can have. And it's not just the physical part, but it's that connection that you have, whether you're doing it by yourself or with someone else, a connection of the spirit, of the positive energy. You know, when you do Reiki healing, the first thing the Reiki instructor tells you to do when you go home is to have sex. Or hug a tree, because the energy that we have inside of us is so tied to nature and our sexuality.
Well,
so
that's,
just
that's
enjoy.
Why I think a lot of people, they're not looking for the mental connection. They're just looking for the physical attributes, thinking they're fooled into thinking that that is the stimulant to their sexual needs. Where it isn't. It's actually the mental stimulation that you have with another person is what makes it the healthiest for you when it comes to sex.
Absolutely. And take your time, man. You don't have to just jump right into it. The magic of touching someone, just touching their skin and then exploring that, you know, and then letting that get more intense and more intense and just be with a person.
Right. The best masturbation is a mind masturbation. And when you have the right person, it doesn't matter what they look like on the outside. It's your connection in the mind that makes them the most beautiful person in the world.
Well, sure. I mean, because sex is existential and it's relational.
Correct.
So we get to work with that. We get to work with that.
In other words, the physical aspect only lasts so long.
Right.
Then what are you going to do?
Then what are you going to do? Exactly. So that's where the spiritual energy comes.
Absolutely. Well, you know, it's been a wonderful show, Annadelle. Thank you for joining us tonight. Unfortunately, it's time for us to go, so I have to bid everybody a farewell and a good night. This is Rakesh. Please join us again next week here on the BBS Radio Network, where the people have the voice to speak.
Thank you for having me. It's been great.
Sunny morning,
you're welcome,
in the shadow of the steeple, by the relief office, I saw my people, and they stood there hungry, and I stood there wondering if this land was made for you and me. This land is your land, this land is my land, from California to the New York Island, Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. Yeah, this land is made for you and me.